Lacking such guidance, I repeat, I think especially in today's secularized world, I think more good vocations are lost for not having guidance in this matter, which may seem to be kind of far afield or rare. People will give up. Ignatius continues. A soul that wishes to make progress in the spiritual life must always act in a way contrary to that of the enemy. And for Ignatius, there is one enemy, and that's the devil. Listen. And I'll always substitute the word devil for enemy in Ignatius' vocabulary. If the devil tries to make the conscience lax, one must endeavor to make it more sensitive. If the devil strives to make the conscience delicate with a view to leading it to excess, the soul must try to establish itself firmly in a moderate course, moderation, so that in all things it may preserve itself in peace. Three sentences. They are worth $3 million. By now, having dealt with, I'm sure, several thousand souls, people need help. They need guidance. And there are two kinds of souls. Some, for example, on the other side of the ledger, who have managed to keep themselves humble and chaste and submissive in spite of the madness in the world outside before they enter on a life of perfection. But then such people, the devil, that's what Ignatius says, the devil will try to make oversensitive. They say to themselves, gosh, I'm in the convent now. Certain things that I used to do, but now I guess I ought to do more. So they pursue to do more. And the doing more may mean that they crack under the pressure. When I was in what they call regency between my philosophy and theology, we normally would teach for 3 years in one of our high schools. When I was in Detroit at the time, it was during the summer, and the rector called me in. He says, we're going to have a novice come in to relax. He's to be home or here for 1 month. To be exact, 29 days, so his novitiate won't be interrupted. He's too tense. He can't sleep. He can't eat. That's bad. So the rector gave me some money. And here for the next month, I want you to show him a good time. Of course, within the moral law. Well, I was under obedience. We traveled, went to ball games, and you name it. They had more chocolate sundaes in that month than ever before or since. And the poor fellow, his first name was Tony, came from a wealthy family and managed to keep himself chaste and good in the world before he entered the novitiate. But the devil got to him. Then he relaxed a little bit under my tutelage, went back to the novitiate. He didn't make it. Both kinds of souls need guidance. because the devil is very shrewd. And if we're going to hear help to counsel either the actually or the potentially scrupulous, let me repeat, dealing with scrupulosity is not an oddity in spiritual direction. It belongs to its essence. I know. And I would say especially for those who are just beginning the spiritual life. Either they had generosity or they wouldn't enter. The devil knows that. So he will try to make the burden of, say, the first 6 months in a consecrated life so intolerably difficult that the person will have lived 16 years in the first 16 weeks. You follow me? Balance, moderation, proportion, and always being sure that the devil has especially his eyes on those who he sees are aspiring after sanctity. Regarding scrupulosity, I'd like to just wrap this up. The two things I would especially want to share with you in dealing with scrupulous people is first to be able to recognize the difference between an erroneous conscience, a delicate conscience, and a scrupulous conscience. We talked about that the last time we met. An erroneous conscience is simply dead wrong, thinks that something is a sin and isn't. But it's remarkable, the same people who think that some things are sins which aren't have the happy faculty of thinking that things are not sins, which are. As a teacher, I can tell you, error is consistent. People are not choosy, or if they are choosy, they favor that which favors their liberty to be erroneous on. So know the difference between an erroneous conscience. People just are unenlightened. That's not scrupulosity. Teach them. That's simple. Second, delicate conscience. Obviously, a delicate conscience is not the same as an erroneous conscience. This is a conscience that is so sensitive to doing God's will that it wants to avoid not just sin, but every semblance of sin. Here, too, instruction is necessary for people with delicate consciences. They should be taught the difference between things that are sinful and things which are not. There is no easy way of teaching such people, but either from observation or questioning or sometimes having them jot down certain things which they consider to be sins. Then you have some sort of a checklist to go by. The thing to keep in mind with people with delicate consciences is that they tend to consider things sinful which are simply less perfect than something which they might do but with a clear conscience. Am I clear? Now we could spend a whole course in dealing with this very important subject, except to know that there are people. In fact, God's grace, let me tell you, God's grace in general sensitizes a person's conscience as they grow in holiness. In fact, if they didn't develop a sensitive conscience, they wouldn't get very holy. Because where morality has to do, morality, in choosing the good instead of the evil, holiness has to do in choosing the better over the merely good. And I think being told this is the way it is the best way of gradually developing a balanced conscience. Now, a scrupulous conscience, remember we described it, is one in which a person has got into the bad habit of considering things sinful which are not. Why a bad habit? Because they have either not bothered enlightening their minds about what is and what is not a sin, or have either not been taught or never learned the difference between remaining in God's grace and growing in sanctity. Now, how to deal with scrupulosity? Here are some recommendations. First of all, a person should cultivate the spirit of obedience. Scrupulosity cannot be overcome except by simple obedience. What is the general rule? The general rule is that if a person wants to do God's will, the sign to him or her that some thought or some desire is indeed from God is if that thought or desire brings peace. Now, finally, a word about the devil's strategy. In general, the devil tries to make sinners more sinful by inducing a moral laxity into their lives. However, with sincere people who want to grow in the likeness of Christ, for them, the devil will tempt them to greater strictness, greater severity, more obligation. Being the father of lies, he will deal with such people in such a way as to make them over-delicate, excessively sensitive, and in the process, wear them out so they will give up in their obedience to God's will. And I would say the single principal source of casualties in the consecrated life is their sincere people, for lack of the proper kind of counsel and direction, take upon themselves obligations and duties, which finally then wear them out. We should not wear out in the spiritual life. And let me tell you, I think most souls that from all you can tell have the grace of sanctity don't really become holy because they have allowed the devil to seduce them into doing more than they can reasonably perform. So much for scrupulosity.